Grace and peace to you, my sisters and brothers, from God our Father, Christ our brother, and the Holy Spirit who gives us life. Grace to you and peace. Amen. We seem to be living in a time of great division and great uncertainty. Families struggle to have gentle conversations at the dinner table. Neighbors compete by placing political signs in their yard. That's coming again now, you're noticing that. And community meetings, whether they're school boards, borough councils, or even community garden associations, are often tense gatherings where conversation quickly dissolves into partisan debate rather than constructive programming. Some have remarked that this may be the most divided we have ever been as a country. And indeed, when we are in the middle of times like these, it can seem that way. However, our country has navigated division before, and our world most certainly has. And of course, we would like to think we've learned better by now. As my favorite author, Dr. Kate Bowler, professor of religious history, though, remarks, there appears to be no cure for being human. There's no cure for being human, she says, but life is beautiful and terrible, full of hope and despair, and everything in between. And that is one of the reasons why we come here, to a place of faith, a place where our ancestors have known and taught the faith for many years, navigating the many things that have threatened to divide us over the years. Here we celebrate the beauty in this life and the world. We hold one another when fear and grief surrounds us, and we come to find hope, and we come to find healing, and everything in between. And we are reminded, as our scripture passages remind us today, that people have been wrestling with division and uncertainty for thousands of years. The prophet Ezekiel is speaking to a people who were in the middle of upheaval, and the blame game had begun. But God spoke firmly through the prophet, saying, "All people belong to me. Each person is accountable for his or her own sin. No more of this blaming others. Look to your own words and actions. Then turn to me, turn to God, and find life." In another reframing of responsibility, in today's gospel, Jesus shares a parable of two sons who are asked to work in their father's vineyard. Which son does what is right? Is it the one who says yes and then does not go to work, or the one who initially refuses and then does what his father asks? The answer we would probably agree upon is the one who ends up doing the work. But is the answer really that easy? Could it be that we are both of these sons at one point or another, or even at the same time? How do our words and actions align? And then in Paul's letter to the Philippians, he urges his congregation, "Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." I imagine the community at Philippi reflected many of our communal struggles today. Paul reminds us that in Christ, though we are freed to consider others' needs before our own, trusting that God will care for us and that there is enough for all. Honestly, and maybe you didn't know this when you first heard it, these are some difficult passages we are hearing today. And if I'm being really honest, they all feel really personal. Sometimes I can be so wrapped up in myself and my worries that I forget to look to others. I know to say the right words. I am a preacher, after all, with a rather expensive education. But do my actions follow? Each week, I have the great joy of visiting congregations throughout our synod. And when I visit, I invite them to trust the Holy Spirit. But in my own life, most oftentimes, I want to do it on my own terms, in ways that make me feel comfortable. But that's not how God's Spirit works. For thousands of years, God has been encouraging, challenging, and guiding us to expand the way we understand ourselves and how we are in community. From the very beginning, God has been focused on community. Since God first spoke in Genesis, God didn't say, "Let me create," but rather, "Let us create in our image." For God is, by our understanding, relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God challenges us to see God in every person we encounter, in every conversation we have, in every action we take. This is not new. I know you know this. But the world around us has changed. The way we know ourselves as church has changed. But even in that, God doesn't love us, the church, or the world any less. Instead, we are called into community to reach outside our comfort zone, to stretch and grow in new ways because we have been freed and grounded in Jesus Christ. And when we are uncertain and wondering what in the world God might be up to, there God is. God sightings, as you said earlier, every step of the way, loving and encouraging us to continue to look beyond our own knowledge and understanding, to step out in faith. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Those were the first words of our psalm we sung today. And the words of the psalmist can be a deep breath, a promise, and a vow. Trust in God is not meant to be a burden, but a sigh of relief and an energizing breath. All people belong to God. All creation belongs to God. When we put our trust in God, our actions align with this confession and this promise. When we turn our eyes to Jesus, following the presence of the Holy Spirit, we are freed to love one another, to build one another up, to gather together, to open our arms, our very lives, to our God that offers hope for the entire world. A world that is beautiful and terrible, full of hope and despair and everything in between. But a world full of us humans and all of creation that God deeply, deeply loves. Amen.